I know that y'all were just standing up, but I asked Craig if he'd come just softly play. Today is a very special day, and the day of the church. And we're here to honor and to lift up the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Because Pentecost is about the pouring out, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Can you hear me in the back? Can't hear me in the back? If you would stand your feet. We just honored our flag. And we honor those who died for this country and paid the ultimate price. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I want us to honor the person of the Holy Spirit. Pray with me.
Begins on Friday evening through Saturday evening, as the Jews were instructed that they would start the feast of Pentecost with a holy Shabbat. We know what Pentecost is all about, right? Do you know why we have the feast of Pentecost? Somebody tell me. Sorry? Let me tell you. What does Pentecost have to do with Passover? God instigated feasts years ago. We read about them in Leviticus and Exodus. And the feast of the Lord, the first one was Passover. We know that God delivered the Jews from Exodus. In Exodus, we read about him delivering the Jews from slavery, from a world system that kept them in captivity. And then one day the Jews began to cry out. God's special people began to cry out. And they heard their voice. And they said, deliver us from this world system. And God sent a deliverer. His name was Moses. And we know the story. He sent plagues and plagues and plagues and still Pharaoh hardened his heart until the final plague being the slaughter of the innocents. Have you ever wondered why the firstborn son of every Egyptian home was slaughtered? Craig, they can't hear me, so thank you. Thank you. I wanted him to play because I had a reason for that later on. I wanted us to go into worship. The reason why every firstborn son in the Egyptian home was slaughtered was it was a symbolic of God's firstborn son. Have you ever wondered, why did there have to be so much bloodshed of innocent children? Why did God send His only Son, His only begotten Son, His firstborn Son, to die for the remission of sins? Do you see this, the symbolism there? So we know that in Passover, the Jews were instructed to put blood over the doorposts and the lintels so that when the death angel came through, that the Jews, all of their families, even their animals would be spared. And we know that's what happened. But he gave them a special instruction. You're to take a spotless lamb and you're to kill it, slaughter it, sacrifice it. And that blood of that spotless lamb is to be applied. And when the death angel comes, I will pass over you. And the people of Israel were passed over. And they named that feast Passover because of that. And so Moses led them into the desert, into the wilderness. So they took the blood of the Passover lamb for the remission of their sins, and they went from there into the wilderness. And we know that God instituted then, from the Passover, 50 days. Now, in the ancient culture, the Jewish culture was, the land was an agrarian land. That meant everything was agriculture. Everything was around the agricultural cycle of the moon. Theirs was a lunar calendar. And they planted according to the moon, just like the old almanacs, farmers' almanacs tell you to do. Now, we don't do that. Our calendar was changed to a Gregorian calendar with a solar. But in the ancient calendar, it was an agrarian calendar, an agricultural calendar. I say that, it's really important that I say that to set the background for why Jesus said to count, God said to count 50 days, one day following Passover, and then that then would become what they call Shavuot. What does Shavuot have to do with Passover? Shavuot is the feast of first fruits, or first feast of the weeks. God said to count 7 weeks, agricultural weeks. And during that time, this is one of the three spring feasts, you would raise sheaves in honor and thanking God for the beginning of the harvest with the tiny buds of the wheat that was on those first fruit. And they would wave them every day. And they would call it the counting of the Omer, O-M-E-R. And Omer is an ancient agricultural weight for grain. That's very important to the Jews. So during this 50 days, they're counting those 7 weeks until they finally get to Shavuot. Now, from Shavuot, let's go back to Exodus 19. Remember, Moses led the people up from Passover 50 days according to the ancient calendar. On that 50th day, guess where they got to? What happened at Exodus 19, Brother Ray? The giving of the law at Sinai. The giving of the Torah. The commissioning of the Word of God to become a people, to become a nation that would be set apart to live not by whatever you want to do or the laws of the land, but to live according to the law of a monolithic God, one God. Count 50 days. They arrive at Mount Sinai. The mountain is shaking, it's trembling, and God says, don't come near the mountain. So Moses goes up and he receives the law. And the nation begins. They were given this special set apart people from time, God's plan. And you wouldn't be here today, and I wouldn't be here today if that hadn't happened. Fast forward thousands of years. The Jews continued this tradition. They continue the tradition today. We don't call Passover, we call it what? Easter. That too was changed from the Jewish tradition. But guess what? When Jesus comes back, he's not going to celebrate Ishtar. He's going to celebrate Passover. Why? Why is Jesus going to celebrate Passover? There was a bunch of men gathered in a room, and it was Passover. And one of those men was the Passover himself. And he knew that before time began, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he knew that his time was short. So he was sitting with a bunch of disciples, and he's sitting there and he's instructing them on Passover, about Passover. Now see, being Jews, they understood Passover. They also understood Shavuot, because since Moses' time, the Jews had celebrated Shavuot. See, the feasts of the Lord are about celebration. Everything that they do is about celebrating. But Shavuot, Pentecost, is about celebrating the giving of the Torah to a lost and dying world. We call it Pentecost because on the very same day, let's go back to Passover, at 3 o'clock, the Jews would take a Passover spotless lamb, just like God instructed. They would slit it. They would slit it this way. What is that? It's a cross. They would empty and say, you are to take that blood, but eat everything of that animal, and everything you don't eat, you're to consume with fire. I'm sorry? Are you beginning to see the picture? So they did that. At 3 o'clock, they killed that lamb. Jesus' Passover lamb was killed at 3 o'clock. He died at 3 o'clock on Passover. Shavuot, the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. The very same day that the law was given to the Jews, Holy Spirit was given to us. Do you think that was just a coincidence? No. Very same day, Shavuot, the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. The Word went back. He had already fulfilled his commission. And listen, when we're talking about the new covenant, we're talking about Jesus came to fulfill the Word, which he did at Passover when he became the Passover lamb. But it didn't stop there, did it? So for 40 days after Jesus was resurrected, remember, the 7-week count had to begin the day after Passover. Well, Jesus going to the grave was Passover. 3 days in the grave, that's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. When he rose again, what feast is that? Tell him, Paul. First fruits. First fruits. There you go. Perfect. Study your Hebrew roots and study the feast because they're all about Jesus. So Jesus resurrected and he appeared to his disciples. How many days? Somebody tell me. After his resurrection, 40 days. And I'm going to read this to you. Remember, the Jews were waving every day. They were waving and counting down that Omer. Because they were counting down to Shavuot, the celebration of Shavuot. I'm going to fast forward because I know Paul and Greg have to go fishing. So Jesus and his disciples are celebrating Passover. So he died, and he says in John 14:16 that he's going to pray to the Father. He's giving them instructions, and he's going to give them another helper that he may abide with them forever. Say forever. And what does forever mean? Forever. In verse 26, he continues to tell them that
the Helper, and he names him, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all the things that I've just now told you. For 40 days, he's telling them this. He's instructing them. He tells them in John 15:7 that he has to go away, but it's to their advantage, because if he doesn't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. But if he departed, he'd send the Holy Spirit to them. Why did Jesus keep emphasizing that point? John 15:8-15 tells us that answer. I'm going to read that for you. If you'll turn in your Bible. John 15. I'm sorry. It's John 15:26. John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And then go to 16. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you that the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Why did Jesus keep emphasizing to the disciples? Here's the answer. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin? Because the world doesn't believe in Jesus. Remember, there is no church. There is no New Testament. The Holy Spirit has not been poured out yet. So he's come to convict the world of righteousness, because I go to my Father and I won't be here anymore to convict the world and teach you of righteousness, but he will. Verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Jesus knew where he was going. And he knew that he was going to take captivity captive, and he was going to bring judgment to a lost and dying world. And verse 12 says, I still have many things to say to you, but right now you can't bear them. But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of the things to come. In verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. And I want to interject right now my testimony. I was raised Baptist, Southern Baptist. Taught me the word, and I love the Baptist denomination. Hey, the Baptist denomination right now are standing with Israel more than any denomination. They understand blessings and curses. But when 1993, I was so dry. I had been a worship leader all my life. I taught Sunday school. I taught youth. I was a youth leader. I mean, I was just doing all the good things. And I didn't know Jesus. I knew about him. I'd been taught about him. I could tell you anything about the Bible. But I didn't know him. I had no love of the Lord in my heart. And so I was reading this book one day. And my friend had told me to read it. And I love to read. So I thought, well, what the heck, I'll read it. It was called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Well, I just had a hysterectomy, and I was in bed, and stitches and all, I was reading, I'm just reading, I'm fascinated about this person called the Holy Spirit. Because as a Baptist, I was taught in Hebrews 10:10, and through the Bible, you were filled with the Holy Spirit. But never any mention of being indwelling and filled with the Holy Spirit. Two different things. So I was reading, and I was just, and I thought, God, this is what I've been longing for. It's the power that you send and that we would do greater things. You know, I see Christians struggling, and I see us going through the same cycles after, and I say, God, where's the victory in all this? So I thought, okay, God, well, I'm going to take you at your word. I mean, I read all this scripture about the Holy Spirit. Some of it I just read to you. And I thought, well, I'm just 3 o'clock in the morning. I finished the book. I was fascinated. And I got down, crawled out of the waterbed, and I got down on the floor on my knees. And I said, okay, God, I want your Holy Spirit. I want your, by faith, you said, I received the gift of salvation by faith. And by faith, I have to receive your Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, which I had never heard of. But I asked for it by faith. I asked for him. He's not an it. He is a him. And I said, but I need a sign. I need you to show me that this is not heresy like I've always been taught in the Baptist church. And it's not for today. But I said, okay, if it's for today, I want to shake. I want you to just hit me, and I just want to shake. I want to feel the power of your power. Well, opposite of that happened. I began to weep because I didn't ask to speak in tongues. This book never mentioned tongues or any of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He just talked about the person, the dear, sweet, beautiful, sweet, wonderful, creative person, the Holy Spirit. I want to love Jesus because, see, the way I was raised, I had no daddy. I always understood God as Father because I had no father. But I did not have a love of the Lord. And so when I asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I said, okay, I want you to teach Holy Spirit. This says you're the teacher, you're my comforter, you're my helper. So I want to love Jesus. And I want to know Jesus. And I want to know his word. Put a love of his word in my heart. I don't just study because I got to study for a Sunday school lesson. And I want you to know, when I said I want to love Jesus more, I was hit from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet with uncontrollable weeping. And I just started weeping, and God brought to my mind, and he said, repent. Well, I said, what does repent have to do with being filled with the Holy Spirit? And he made me think of things, I'm telling you, that I had never thought of to repent for. And I'm telling you, by the time I was over, I was cleansed. If I could have gotten up and danced, I would have, even though I've been taught that that was not for the church. You know, but I was liberated. I was set free. For the first time in my life, I had ultimate freedom. Ultimate. And then I started shaking. And I shook for 2 hours. I couldn't stop shaking. I started laughing 1 minute, and 1 second I was laughing. I was crying. It was an incredible experience, and I'll never forget it. I did not speak in tongues because I didn't know to ask. I had not been taught 1 Corinthians 12 of all the gifts, the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I did ask the Holy Spirit, and I said, okay, no one laid hands on me. No one anointed me. And except God himself, Jesus himself. And I said, so I want all the gifts. I want every last one of them. If they're in that Bible, which they are, I want them all. When I started studying then about the Holy Ghost, and I said, I don't want any men to teach me. I want you to teach me. You're my teacher. And Paul can tell you, for a year, I went through 3 study Bibles. 3. He would come home from work, and I'd still be in my prayer closet in my robe. We had a glorious honeymoon for 1 whole year. And the Holy Spirit became my teacher. Paul thought I'd lost my mind, didn't he, baby? I mean, he wasn't about to let go of any traditions. And that's hard. It's hard to go by faith. It's hard to say, you know, okay, Holy Spirit, you're in charge. You know, the Old Covenant, the Old Testament had God the Father, then you had Jesus. He said, if I go away, I've got to go away. And he could have been talking to me and you. But he's talking to his disciples, setting the ground for Shavuot. And let's go there. I mean, that was the most incredible experience that I'd ever had. But my whole life changed. My view of church changed. I got a kingdom perspective. It was no longer about four walls or a denomination. God began to show me that men raised denominational walls. It was never God's intention for us to be separated as a kingdom. Kingdom is kingdom. And that's what Jesus taught his disciples. And that's why when God commissioned Paul and I for his place, he said, you are not to talk about denominations. You're to talk about kingdom. Hallelujah. You're to be about kingdom.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I want you to go back to that verse that I just read in John 16. The Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. This is what I asked for, and this is what God gave me. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine, and he will declare it to you. I want you to turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, you know where I'm going. 26. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts, who is that?
The Holy Spirit.
No.
Father.
He who searches, only God knows the heart. That's what the Bible says. Knows what the mind of the Spirit is. And here's Jesus, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And here's the way that works.
Light fixture on the wall. You've got a light fixture, that's God. You've got a switch, that's the administrator. That's the Holy, that's Jesus. And when Jesus says, Holy Spirit, switch that light off or on. That's the power of God moving. And during creation, the Holy Spirit, God said, the Spirit of God was dwelling, moping over the waters. And when God spoke, creation came into being. So he is the creator. He is the one who listens to what God says. How important is it that we learn about the Holy Spirit? Now I want to go back to Jesus answering the question. Jesus told his disciples that he still had many things to say to them, but they couldn't bear to hear them right now. Not until after he died. Jesus died on Passover. He was God's perfect Passover lamb. And for 40 days following his resurrection, Acts 1:3 says, he presented himself alive to his disciples after his suffering by many infallible proofs, speaking to them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I want you to turn to Acts 1, and we're going to read verses 4 through 8. Acts 1, verses 4 through 8. And you've read this so many, many, many times, but I want you to think of it in terms of Shavuot, Pentecost. And being assembled together with them, his disciples, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Remember, we just told you in John 14, he was going to send the Holy Spirit, who was the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water. What was John's baptism for? The remission of sins. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he's talking about two different baptisms here. Baptism for the remission of sins, which is John's baptism for repentance of sins. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's scriptural. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to become our king? Are you going to take down Rome? And are we going to rule and reign as Jews once more in our own land?
He said, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But number 8, look at verse 8. But you, me, shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Why? Is it just God just wanted us to have a gay old time and be free and have some great praise and worship and speak in tongues? No. For you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the age.
Amen.
That's why we have to have the Holy Spirit. And now when they had spoken these things, when he had spoken, they watched. He's taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight. And now remember, he said, you are to stay in Jerusalem. Now, 40 days, he walked with them. Then he ascended back to heaven. He said, I'm promising the Father still to come. How many more days did they wait? 40 days plus 10 is 50. All right, let's skip over to chapter 2. You've heard all this too. And when the day of Pentecost, or Shavuot, had fully come, they were all with what? One accord now, in one place. Our brother gave us a word this morning. Were you listening? The word was about being in one accord. Satan has tried to attack this body, because he knows great and wonderful things. God. And all Judea to the end of the world. We have got to protect each other. We've got to watch what we say. We've got to speak only what the Holy Spirit tells us to speak. Because the whole key to the Holy Spirit being poured out, and listen, that wasn't just a one-time thing. God wants to pour His Spirit out once again. Paul, you prayed for revival this morning. Well, that ain't going to happen. You know why? Because we're all divided. Until we can come together as one body, one kingdom, and one accord. And we can learn to protect each other, love each other, die. The Bible says, are you willing to lay down your life for your brother? That's not just something you just take lightly. You either are or you're not. Because we're disciples, we're called to do that. So they were all with one accord in one place. And I thank you for that word, Vaughn. Thank you. Make a copy of it. I want to put it beside my mirror to remind me to keep my mouth shut of the damage that can be caused from this thing in our mouths. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Holy Ghost comes and signs, does, wind, water, the washing of the word, renewing of the word, water. You know, he comes every time he talks about the Holy Ghost, fire. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All. Now, in that upper room, they were sitting there waiting for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. And on Shavuot, being Jews, these 120 men and women were waiting for the promise of the Father. Do you think it took them by surprise when all of a sudden on Shavuot, celebrating the giving of the Word, the Torah, to a Jew, the highest form of worship is reading the Word. How important is it? When I pray for the Holy Ghost indwelling, I pray, give me a love of the Word. And it's like a fire. It's like a passion in me. That's why He is like a fire when we talk about the Holy Spirit. He makes you passionate about something. Before, I was passionate. Paul asked me, why don't I ever paint my nails with my, because it's boring. I hate to paint my toenails. It takes so much time. I have to sit in one place too long. But before I received the Holy Spirit, I was your perfect carnal Christian. I loved to go shopping.
I loved to go have my nails done. My hair had to be in place. I really had to dress up on Sunday morning. I mean, all the things that was important to God was important to me, wasn't it? I was supposed to look like a diva because I had to respect and honor God. You know, all these things I would tell ourselves, but you know, I would go out on Monday, I would go out on Tuesday, and I would think, gosh, I've got to teach a Sunday school lesson sometime. I've got to study that quarterly. Not one time did I open my work, my strength, my sword. And I'm just telling you my testimony. But when I received the help of the Holy Spirit, He gave me a passion to love Jesus. He gave me a passion to love people. Turn to Acts 2, 37 and 39. It talks about, it goes on and talks about the crowd's response after they received the Holy Spirit and the people mocking and said they're full of wine. But verse 14 of Acts 2, Peter stood up with a loud voice and he told them how it was. He said, hey, it's only the third hour of the day. They're not drunk. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And you all know that verse, Joel. What is it? Joel 2:22. I had it written down, I can't find it. Anyway, it's Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters. Now every single Shavuot up to this time had just been celebrating the giving of the word until now. This scripture that we're reading in Acts was Peter repeated to these people because they were mocking what they were hearing going on. They were hearing these tongues being uttered. They were seeing this incredible joy. And if it was anything like I experienced, I mean, these 120 people, their house was shaking and it was rocking with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Okay? But these people, he was saying, they're not drunk. They're only telling this is what is being fulfilled now on this Shavuot. God's bringing the promise of the Father. And it's just as we were told, in the last days, that scripture became fulfilled. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. 120 people, men and women. And if there was women, I dare say there were children. Because guess what? Jewish women don't leave their, at that time, didn't leave their kids with babysitters. All right? So I'd say there's children then. Your sons and your daughters will what? Prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, on the men and the women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great, and I love the old King James, it says, terrible day of the Lord. Here this says, awesome day of the Lord, which it will be awesome. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it goes on. Let's read verse 37 through 39. Peter stood up and he said, you know, Jesus whom you crucified, he was your Lord and your God. And in verse 37 it said, the people, this was people of all races. Says there were people from all nations and under heaven. It wasn't just Jews there. It was Gentiles. Goyim. You and me. Part of that promise of the Father. That's real important for us to understand. And Peter said to them in verse 38 of Acts 2, repent. Let every one of you be baptized. Every one of you be baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, me, and who? All who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God will call. You know, to all, the promise is to you, your children. Hey, this promise is for you, bud. This promise is for that boy. It's for you, Stephen. It's for our children. It's our inheritance.
and as many as God will call. Did you know you're here this morning to hear this message because God called you here? Nothing happens in His kingdom by happenstance. You're here because God called you. And that's why you're here. It's as simple as that. Shavuot, or Pentecost, as we've called it, the church, is also named, as I told you, the Day of First Fruits, a celebration of the first buds of the harvest. It goes on to say there are many words that He gave to them. But verse 41 says, those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people. Man, wouldn't you love to see that happen in Asheville, Buncombe County? Man, that's my prayer. I hear people pray for McDowell County, and I say, don't stop there. Go to Buncombe County. Go to Burke County. But God, let it begin here.
Mitchell County.
Avery County. God, let that. 3,000 people were born again that day. They received, in the name of Jesus, they, not just salvation, but they received the Holy Spirit. And it said fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Hey, I want to do wonders and signs. You? Celebration of the first buds of the harvest. Those who became believers that day were the first fruits of a vast harvest of millions of souls that God said He would pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Acts 2:5 said that those people dwelling in Jerusalem were for every country. But you know what? Go back to Acts 2:38-39. I want to point this out. Peter said to them, what did he say first? Repent. And I remember that so well when I studied this, that that's the word I heard God say. Repent. And that every one of you be baptized, how? In the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the promises to you and your children and all who are far off to those whom God will call. Peter's invitation was in two parts. First, he told them to repent of their sins and be baptized. Hey, you hear that? Be baptized. It's next Sunday. You're going to obey this. Be baptized. Our sister's been born again, but next Sunday, she's going to be baptized. Secondly, he told them they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 13-17 said, we read about our conversion. We're still the Holy Spirit. We become joint heirs. But Hebrews 5:18 says, for God's people to be filled with the Spirit, not just sealed. That salvation is separate experience from being filled. Acts 2:38, Peter calls the Holy Spirit a gift. He is a gift. He possesses the attributes of mind and feelings. He's the helper and the comforter. He engages in revealing, teaching, witnessing, interceding, speaking, commanding, and testifying. He has relationship with human beings. He can be grieved. He can be lied to, and he can be blasphemed. And did you know Jesus? God said, you can blaspheme me, and you can blaspheme Jesus, but you better not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That's the unpardonable sin. You know? The Holy Spirit possesses the divine attributes of the Godhead. He's eternal. He's omnipresent. He can be anywhere at all times. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful, and he's omniscient. In Acts 1:8, Jesus told the disciples they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, that they would be witnesses to the end of the earth. Jesus understood that. He understood that. Matthew 3:13-17 is the account of Jesus being baptized. Mark's gospel, John says that he baptized with water, but Jesus would be baptized. But Jesus would baptize you with the Holy Spirit. We're not going to read that for time's sake. But have you ever wondered, why was Jesus baptized? He never sinned. So why was he baptized? Matthew's gospel said Jesus went to the Jordan so that John would baptize him. He didn't just end up there accidentally. He knew that he had never sinned because he was sinless. He had to be become the perfect sacrifice for us. He knew that he was going to go into the wilderness
Remember the Jews going to the wilderness? And without the power of the Holy Ghost, he couldn't make it. 40 days and 40 nights without eating and drinking, he couldn't make it. Being tempted by Satan, ultimate temptations out of the world thrown at you, which he already owned, by the way, he created it. He couldn't make it without the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that when he went down into the water, out of obedience, mind you, see, out of obedience, when he came back up, the Holy Spirit came and lit on him like a dove. And there's one time in the Bible you see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all in one time. Jesus receiving the Holy Spirit. How important then is it for us to receive the power of the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Because what happened in verse 4? It said he immediately went into the desert. In chapter 4 of Matthew. And when he came out, the angels helped him. The Holy Spirit helped him get through. He began his ministry. Couldn't have done his ministry. He could have. We do. I did for 40 years. I wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. I did all the right things. I was a great music director, wasn't I, Paul? I mean, I was the best. I even helped the McGowan County Association lead the choir. I mean, I was good at what I did. It's not about doing, it's about being.
Hallelujah.
But having a relationship with the one true living God and his Son, and the Holy Spirit filling you, only doing what he hears the Holy Father say. So how important then did Jesus realize before he could begin ministry, he was God incarnate, but he was in flesh. He had to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Yet, when we're born again, we're sealed. Jesus didn't need to be born again. He's the sealer. But he needed to be filled. He needed it, and he knew he needed it. We're born of the Spirit. Our justification is in Jesus. Justification means being declared sinless. But that does not qualify us for power, kingdom power in ministry. Jesus acknowledged the need of his own need for being filled with the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, I'm almost finished, Paul teaches about the 9 gifts of the Spirit to the church. These gifts are specifically available to every believer as the Holy Spirit distributes them. Remember I said I wanted them all. I would go down that list and it says prophecy. I want to prophesy. I'd go down that list. Oh God, I want to have the knowledge. I want to have the understanding. I truly want discernment. Because of these days, God said there's going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. And you can't discern that kind of spirit on your own. We have to have the Holy Spirit discerning through us. But you know, these gifts are not to be passively acknowledged. Oh, they're good. But they're for somebody else. But they're actively welcomed and sought after. I sought after God. I was so hungry, dry. I said, God, there has got to be more than this church business. Because I was sick. I was sick of all that went on in the church. You know, and it's not for me to judge that. I was just sick. So all you have to do is respond and believe that the gifts are for you today. The Holy Spirit's power is given to believe, to expand our capabilities, our natural capabilities. We go into a supernatural realm where the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus dwell. The Creator made a way for us to receive that power. All you have to do is say, Holy Spirit, fill me. In Acts, Paul tells about he was traveling in Ephesus, Acts 19:2, and he asked some disciples, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, just like I said, I hadn't even heard so much whether there is a Holy Spirit. That chapter continues to tell us that these disciples were rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Some of you may never have heard of the wonderful Holy Spirit or his power gifts to the church. To the church. That's our inheritance. God made them clearly available for us.
So John 20, 22, Jesus was sitting with the disciples and he looked down and he breathed on them. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. And that's all we have to do. Receive. Paul, are you coming? Thank you, Lord. This morning we're going to pray because this is Shavuot to the Jews. Giving. Actually, they celebrated Friday evening. But this is Pentecost Sunday. That's why we say celebrate. We sang that song, Jesus, celebrate. Passover is all about Shavuot. Celebration, freedom, power. And we're going to do the work here. It's not just the building that we said, oh, we need more room. God, we're saying send laborers. Send people who are passionate to see this lost and dying world come to know you. Be filled. Be filled. That's a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, we say. If you want this precious gift this morning, and you've never received, you've been born again, that's the first step. The next step is to receive power for your ministry. And I promise you that when you do this, God's going to take you places you've never been before. I'm going to finish the story real quickly. I received the Holy Ghost. I thought everybody should have it. Went back to my Baptist church. Wanted to teach it to my young people's class. They gave me the last bit of fellowship and said I was going to split the church. But you know what? That was God. God's path for me began that day. So evidently the word spread that we were going to try to break up the Baptist denomination. I'm not the Baptist, not thrown off on them. Please, hear me, not. But God took us to a non-denominational church that would take us in because none of the other churches wanted anything to do with us. We met Jim Jackson. He was our pastor. Jim Jackson is the president of CBU. Came worship leaders for his church. Never led worship in his life. Became worship leaders for a Christian denomination that took us all over, basically the world, as worship leaders for 10 years. Simply because one night, I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you're real, I want you. Paul came kicking and screaming, but he came.
She drugged me. Drugged me kicking and screaming.
I can't let go of my tradition. I can't let go. But God wants you to. Because he wants your heart. He wants you to become all that he created you to be. And just as Jesus said, you can't do that without his precious spirit. So if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's just as Jesus did. I can't promise that the dove's going to come from heaven, but hey, your life's going to be changed. Totally. And God will say, this is my daughter. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Bow your heads. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love you. You are so welcome to do whatever you want to do in this body, in this kingdom, Lord. So we say, come. If you've never accepted the Holy Spirit for the baptism of fire, for power, for your ministry that God is going to give you, would you please step out and say, I want it. Can't be any fear. It's not an easy step unless you're as desperate as I was. You know, we ask people to step out here. I know a lot of churches say, I'll meet with you later in the back room, but hey, stand in honor, lift your head high. Jim here, Mr. Craig. Wait, Ray. You come out and pray?